Real quick synopsis. Gospel of John, John chapter 1. We see that God sent His Word. God gave us His Word. All of His character, God sent it to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How do we know our Creator? What do we know what He's like? Why did He give us life? What does He want us to do with the life that He gave us? All of the big questions that we'd never come up with on our own. God sent His Word. Jesus came to show us the Father. On the whole, the world and His own people, they rejected Him. They didn't believe Him. But to those who did believe Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. That by trusting Christ as God's Son and as our Savior, He makes us His own. And then we saw Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Sunday school kid. Nicodemus grew up in the church. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader among God's people. And he came to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, what do I need?" Jesus said, "Nicodemus, what you need is a new life. The life that you have now is no good. There's no cleaning it up. There's no turning around. There's nothing you can do with it. It goes, you got to get rid of that life and I have to give you a new one. You must be born again." Woman at the well. This is not a Sunday school kid. This is a pagan street woman. Not even a Jew. He says, "Lady, if you knew who asked you, you would ask of me, and I would give you life springing up, living water springing up inside of you to eternal life. Lady, what you need is a new life. You need life. And Jesus says, I am here to give you the life that you so desperately need." We get to chapter 5. The first half of chapter 5 is the scene at the Pool of Bethesda. You ever wonder where the hospital Bethesda, U.S. Air Force Hospital in Maryland, ever got its name? John chapter 5, right there's a place in Bethesda, a healing pool that people would gather around for the healing power of the waters. Jesus goes up there, and there's a man laying there, and he's crippled. And he says, nobody's been able to lift me in and drop me into the water. I can't get into the water myself. And so here I am, been here for years, and I've never been healed. Jesus says, "Well, you can be healed today." And so he's healed. The Pharisees want to wonder why in the world Jesus would heal this man on the Sabbath. And so they accuse him. Look down in verse 18. "For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." They didn't understand Jesus. They had no idea what Jesus was doing. He was doing exactly what God said the Messiah, his son, was going to do, but these Pharisees, they don't recognize him at all. And so what we get, beginning at verse 19, all the way really down through the end of the chapter, now listen, what we get is Jesus explaining to us who He is and what He's doing. We've watched Him with Nicodemus. We've watched Him interact with this Samaritan woman. But listen, now here in chapter 5, we get to sit back, and just like He is talking to us, Jesus is explaining to us, "Hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is why I came. This is what you need." Man, is that valuable for us? Oh, man. Because we talk about Jesus. We claim His name. We say that we are followers of Jesus. But here's my question. Do you know Him? Who is He? Do you know what He's done? When you claim to be a Christian, when you say, "I'm a follower of Jesus," have you heard Him describe what He's done and why He came? That's what we get this morning. We get to sit back, and my prayer is, I want to step out of the way, and I want you to see Jesus for who He is. And I want you to hear from His own mouth why he came and what he's doing and the work that he is doing to accomplish in our lives the very thing that we desperately need him to do. This is invaluable. Verse 19. Jesus answered and he was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Jimmy, can you cut this? I don't know if you can cut. I'm getting some feedback up here. It's off. That's everything we got. Okay, no problem. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." What's Jesus saying? The Pharisees, man, they knew God, right? They were followers of God. And they, man, they loved God's word, but they didn't understand Jesus. And they didn't understand why Jesus kept talking about the Father, because what connection does Jesus have with God? And Jesus says, "Listen, let me tell you the connection that I have with God. The connection that I have with God, the Father, that connection is he is showing me exactly what he's doing, and I'm only doing what he does." What's the connection that Jesus have with God? It is that Jesus is from God, and God, our Creator, was showing Jesus exactly what he wanted Jesus to do, and Jesus was only doing exactly what the Father wanted him to do. How do we know what does God want to happen in my life? The way that you know that is by listening to Jesus. Let's keep going. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these." Okay, all right, so Jesus, you're only doing what the Father shows you to do. Well, what kind of relationship, Jesus, do you have with the Father? Jesus says, well, the reason that God shows me what he wants me to do is because the Father loves me. He's telling us about his relationship with the Father. We don't understand how there can be a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit, but one God. But we know that that's true. That what we see is that there is a Father, there is God who created us all. He's the one who gave us life. And listen, as our Creator, does he have any say in what the intention and the purpose and the plan is for our life? Absolutely. But our God, our Creator, who is over all, sent his Son. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, but there's only one God. We know that's true. I don't understand it, but I do know that it's true. And here you have the Son saying, hey, if you want to know what the Father's doing, look at me, because I'm doing exactly what the Father shows me to do, because the Father loves me. And watch this. And shows him all things that the Father himself is doing. Jesus is not doing something different than what God has been doing all along. What Jesus is about to explain to us, that is what the Father has been working toward for all of creation. And he says the Father will show him greater works. Why? So that you and me will step back and say, oh man. Man, how great is our God? Let me stop right here, and I want to give you an illustration. There are places in Scripture where God's Word does not tell us what to do. God's Word simply tells us what is true. And this is one of those passages. Toward the end, we're going to see some very specific application for our life, but there are a lot of passages where we're not necessarily told what to do, but we are just simply told, God says, this is what is true. That Jesus, Son of God, he is doing exactly what the Father wants him to do because the Father loves him. And let me tell you why that is. I've used this illustration before. Some of y'all might have heard me use this illustration before. But you know what? If you were to, when you leave here and you go out into the parking lot and you step into your car and you turn the key and somebody were to ask you, hey, how does that car go? How does it go forward? Well, you know what? You could say at one level, you could say, well, I mean, the thing, I turn the key and it starts up and then I put it into drive and I push on the accelerator and there it goes. Right? That's how it goes. And you know what? You would be right. That is how it goes. But if you were an engineer or a mechanic, you could say, you know, you're right. That is how it goes. You put it into drive and you push on the pedal and it goes. But step out, put it back into park and you step out here with me for just a minute. And you go around to the front of the car and you open that hood up. And you say, you see all that right there? Let me describe for you the starting mechanism. Let me describe for you the fuel injection system. Let me describe for you the radiator. Let me describe for you the transmission. And now let's talk about how this thing goes. And what he's doing is he is describing, man, yes, you can say, I put it into drive and I push the accelerator and it goes, but there's a whole lot more to it than that. That you would never know unless you opened the hood up and had somebody describe it to you. And you know what you do when somebody opens the hood up and walks you through? You know what you do? You step back and you say, wow, I don't know who designed that thing, but whoever came up with that is brilliant. That is incredible. I had no idea. And so let me just tell you, you can come to Sunday school all your life and you can say, how are you saved? Well, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And you know what? That's true. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that is an accurate statement. But there is so much more that Jesus has done than just dying on the cross for our sins. There's so much more to Jesus than just that. That is true. But you open God's Word and you listen to Him describe for us. Let me tell you what I'm doing. And you step back, and what happens is your love for what the Father has done and your love for Jesus, man, it goes through the roof. Oh, God, you did this. I can't even believe it. God sent His Son, and so that we could know who He is and what He is doing and what He wants to do in His life, He says, listen, I'm going to send you my Son. And I want you to watch Him, because everything He does, that's what I'm doing. And you can see it. And I'm going to show you some things in His life. I'm going to show it to you so that you will marvel. Oh God, thank You for Your great love. Flip over verse 21. Tell us, what specific things are we going to marvel at? For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes. You're going to marvel, because what you're going to see is you're going to see dead men come to life. You know, only God can do that. Only God can see, only God can give life to a corpse. Nowhere else can you get life. And Jesus says, you're going to marvel, because you're going to see dead men come to life. And you know what? While Jesus was alive, He actually showed that several times. We saw Lazarus. We saw Jairus' daughter. We saw Jesus Himself. But I want to stop. And I want you to see that what Jesus is talking about when He says you're going to see dead men come to life is not just Lazarus coming out of the tomb. But that is what Jesus told Nicodemus had to happen to him. Nicodemus, what you need is life. Woman at the well, lady, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd have asked me, and I'd have given you life. Jesus says, here's what you need to know I'm doing. What I'm doing is I'm giving dead people life. Verse 22, watch this. This is fascinating. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. God is the only one who can give life. And in the Old Testament, you saw God raise people from the dead. God does that. But God has given the ability to give life to the Son. Now it's Jesus. Jesus is calling people to life. And He says, and not only has He given the ability to call people to life, but He's given all the judgment to the Son. Here's what that means. You know what it means that Jesus now has all the judgment? What that means is that Jesus is now the great divider. It is Jesus now who decides life and death. That it is what you do with Jesus that will determine whether you have life or you stay dead. It is not what you think of God. It is not what you think about your Creator. It is not who you make your God to be, or what you've just come to the conclusion about God in general. There is no more God in general who will save you. It is Jesus alone. That God has given to Jesus all the judgment. And so Jesus now is the great divider of mankind. Those who trust Jesus and those who do not. And those are the only two divisions. It is not enough to just trust God. You got to know Jesus. Jesus has to give you life. Why? Verse 23. So that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Listen. Listen. We can talk about how, oh, I trust God. Oh, we can talk about how, oh, I've put my trust in God. We can talk, oh, how I want to follow God. But let me tell you something. If Jesus is not your king, then the Heavenly Father is not your God. If Jesus is not the king of your life, then the Heavenly Father is not your God. There is no God except through Jesus. We can't say, oh, I'm trusting God and forget Jesus. It is Jesus. He is the one alone who can give us life. Why? Because God set it up like that. You have these Pharisees, and they think they know the Father. They know the Old Testament. They think they know God in general. But they didn't know Jesus. And God says here, you can't honor the Father if you don't honor Jesus. If Jesus is not your king, then the Heavenly Father is not your God. It's Jesus. Now look what he does. Verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed out of death into life. What's the division? Where does the break happen between those who know Jesus and those who don't? And he says, here's where it breaks. Those who hear my word and believe him who sent me. Those who hear Jesus' words, come unto me, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Trust me. I am the Son of God who does the will of the Father. He who hears my word and believes that I am the one sent by the Father. Hearing him, believing him, boom. Now look what happens when you do. When you hear his word and believe him. Jesus describes our salvation in three phrases. Look at this. It says in verse 24, it says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, number one, has eternal life. You already have it. It's a done deal. You've already been given eternal life. Your eternal home in heaven, your eternal life, it's already been settled. It's done. You have eternal life. He says, does not come into judgment. What you do not have is condemnation now because of your sin. So you've been given life and you've been taken away from judgment. But look at this. This is the one that we skip over a lot of times. But he says, not only have you been given eternal life, but you do not come into judgment. But now, number three, you have passed out of death into life. You hear his word and believe in Jesus. Then what happens is you were dead and he made you alive. You were dead. You had no spiritual life at all. and Jesus made you alive. Now let me tell you what that means. That means that something has to change. You can't help but change. Because he takes you, listen, a body laying in a casket versus a live person walking around, those are two distinctly different things. And if you have heard his voice and you have believed in him who sent him, Jesus, man, you know Jesus, then yes, you have eternal life. And you have been taken out of judgment. But it's more than that. You were dead, and you've been made alive. And so what happens there is you have a new heart. You have a new life. You're new. Nicodemus, you've been born again. Woman, you now have living water springing up inside of you. You're not the same. At this point, we have to stop. And we've got to add, we got to say, wait a minute. Is that what happened to me? Because if I'm looking at my life and I'm honest with myself, and you know what? Yeah, I got my ticket to heaven, and I prayed a prayer, and I trusted Jesus my Savior, and now I'm good to go. But nothing about me changed. Then we have to look at that and say, that's not what Jesus is describing here. Jesus is saying, yes, you get eternal life. No, you don't get judgment. But you've been made alive. I don't have the same desires. I don't have the same heart. I don't want to do those things anymore. Man, am I perfect? No. But I'm fighting. But man, I'm different. I'm new. That's what Jesus is describing. That's what Jesus is doing. Verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is. This is what Jesus is doing right now. 2,000 years ago, February 2017. An hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That's what he's doing. Jesus is describing for us, hey, this is who I am. I'm from the Father. I'm the Son of the Father. I'm doing what God has always been doing, but he's given it to me now, and I'm the one who is the great divide of all mankind. And here is what I am doing. The hour is come when all will hear my voice, and those who hear, the dead will hear my voice, and those who hear will live. Jesus. He speaks, and if you hear him and you trust him, you come to life. You sit up. Oh man. Something has happened. I am new. That's what he's doing. That is the work that Jesus is doing now. That he is calling dead men to life. That's what we need to understand about our salvation. Our salvation is not this wishy-washy thing that says, I prayed a prayer and now I've got a ticket to heaven. No, what it is Jesus is calling your name and you were dead and you came to life. That's what he's talking about. That's the work that he's doing. Verse 26. Just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Verse 26 is a repeat. It's a reiteration of verse 21 and 22. They say the exact same thing. Jesus reiterates it. Jesus says, listen, I am the one. The Father has given this to me to do. If you're not looking to Jesus, if you don't hear Jesus' voice, if Jesus has not made you alive, then you're not alive. If Jesus is not king, then the Heavenly Father is not your God. I fear there's a lot of people out there with kind of this idea that, oh, they love God, but they don't know Jesus. And that's an impossibility. You can't know God without without trusting Jesus. You can't know God without Jesus making you alive. Let's keep going. Verse 28, this is fascinating. He says, don't marvel at this. He says, don't be surprised by this. He said, you ought to have known this. Don't be surprised by this. Why? For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and all will come forth. There is a day coming when all the tombs will be emptied. And everybody will stand up and look at what will happen. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Now, stop right there for just a second. That seems a little confusing. Wait a minute. You've been talking about Jesus calling my name and making me alive. Now what's all this stuff about good deeds and evil deeds? How does that play into effect? There's coming a day where Jesus is going to call us all and everybody's going to stand up. And Jesus is going to say, okay, let's look at the evidence. And you know what the evidence will be that he will use? Death. Life. Death. Life. Go to the right. Step to the left. Step to the right. Step to the left. And the evidence that he will use will be the way that we have lived. That's not what saves us, but that is the evidence that he will use to point. You have life. I made you alive. And I see it right there in the way that you lived. Step to the right. Yeah, you say that you trusted me, but let's look at the evidence. There ain't no life there. Step to the left. Do you see what he's doing? You can't be made alive and stay the same. Being made alive, that necessarily changes the way that you live. Are you going to be perfect? No, but it changes your heart. It changes what you want. It changes your life. It gives you life. There was no life before it. And Jesus says, I'm calling the dead men to life. That's what Jesus is doing. And we have to step back. And I think Jesus is telling us this. He's telling us who he is and what he is doing and what change that makes in our life. Why? So that we step back and say, wait a minute, is that what he's done in my life? Maybe I've called myself a Christian all along. Maybe I've claimed the name of Jesus all along, but I don't really see any evidence of a new life. I mean, I've been doing the best I can, but I don't really see any evidence of a new heart. Maybe what I need to do this morning is I need to hear the voice of Jesus. And I need to look not to God in general, but to Jesus, who alone can save. Maybe it is this morning that you need to step back and do I see new life? Is what he's doing. We sang a song this morning. I didn't know we were going to sing it. I'm really thankful that the Lord works this out sometimes. Born of the Spirit, with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me. Oh, praise his dear name. Man, my prayer is that is our story. That's our story. And he called my name, made me alive. That is what makes the difference, Jesus. If you are here this morning, maybe you've claimed the name of Jesus, but it's just been a ticket for eternal life. And it's not been, you've not been made alive. My prayer is that you would look to him this morning. Oh, you'd look to him for the only thing that you so desperately need that he alone can provide. You can't get it anywhere else. He's got to make you alive. And if that is not what you experienced, that has not happened to you, then man, you need to get that right today. Father, God, I praise you for writing down for us who your Son is and what he does. God, I praise you that you have given him the authority to grant life. And you have made him the judge. And Father, I praise you for inviting us to look to him, to hear his voice, and to believe on him, and to be made alive. And God, I pray that if there is one here who does not know you, God, I pray that they would look to your Son, Jesus, be made alive today. God, I pray for those of us who have been made alive. Pray that understanding what you have done, oh God, I pray would drive our love for you through the roof. God, our lives would be yours because you are worthy of all of our life. God, you're worthy of it because you gave it to us. I pray our lives would be yours. We'd hold nothing back. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and sing. And if you have never